William Thomas, 1118 Ward Street, Baltimore, Maryland, 21230. Pulse Rate has been in operation 35 years. I run the Ambassador Volunteer Program. My name is William.
Hey, William.
I'm 6'9", 250. I'm a country boy, and I feel like I have been given a second chance of life.
Usually when you go to rehab and you start having a relapse, usually you start sneaking around and you start to dip and dab. And that usually means that you start the process of relapse and you start sneaking around copping again. And you're fooling yourself because you think you can just do one. But if you like me, or like a lot of us, you know, one is too many.
And a thousand is never enough.
I can remember it pretty clearly. It was August of 1986. And at that point, I was a marijuana smoker. I was a drinker. I seemed to always be able to function. I had a job, which wasn't bad. I graduated college smoking every day, drinking. And at this point, my wife was already smoking crack. And saw some changes that was in her. One day I asked her, I wanted to experience what she was experiencing. Well, I want to know what she was making her go through all these changes. And I never wanted anything else after that. I didn't want no more liquor, no more marijuana. I didn't want anything else but crack from that point on. It was calling me. You know, the obsession was always there.
What is it about that high that's so different than anything else?
I don't know. It was like, it's a totally different experience I ever had before in my life. It was like everything got quiet, or get quiet. It was like, it's hard to even describe. You know, I can still feel the bells ringing in my head from time to time, and I haven't gotten high in over 23 years. You can't say no to yourself. You know, even though you know what you're doing is ruin your life, you just can't say no to it. And it got to the point where I just gave up on trying to even say no and just said yes to all the stuff that was calling me. Well, it was a payday, and it was like 2 weeks from Christmas. And the kids just went through a traumatic experience being in foster care for that period of time. I really wanted to give the kids a real good Christmas, and my whole plan was to come up to Baltimore. I was living in Bowie at the time, and you know, I had to catch the train up to Baltimore, catch the bus, catch the subway, catch the bus to go to my wife's house. By the time I got off the subway, I was up by my diamond, and the call of you can do one, it's not gonna hurt anything, just that call of get one came out of nowhere. And I was so close to Park Heights, where that's where I always got high at. I went to Park Heights, like I say, with all the intentions of just doing one. And I went up there and I spent all the money up. It took me a couple of days. I spent all the money up. And by the time I got done, I called my wife up, and because I didn't have no money, and I was living out of Bowie, I couldn't get home. And she told me that I could come by, and she would feed me, and she would give me a chance to take a shower, and see the kids. But when I got there, and she had, like, at this time, over 90 days clean, and I came in, she had some food for me, and the kids was happy to see me. But she was on the phone, and I remember her being on the phone. I guess she was talking to her sponsor or some of her new NA friends, and they basically had told her that don't have me in there. You know, that she needed to send me out. She, you know, I guess looking at me, I guess brought on some feelings about getting high herself. So they told her to get rid of me. So in the midst of seeing the kids, she put me out, and that was like the last time I saw my kids for like 15 months. So the last time I saw my kids was 15 months later. I was a big hurting feeling, to be honest about it. I mean, but I just couldn't do it no more. I just couldn't do it. I thought I'd be better off just being homeless. I tried to sleep. I thought being homeless would be easy. And I remember my first experience of doing it. I tried to be on this bench on it was by the park with the zoo at, by Druid Hill Park. And that was a rough experience, a rough night. And I knew I wasn't something I could do. That's why I started the shelter, living in shelters. Thank God for them. And you know, that's where I met some people who directed me in the place to get some help. For me, it's like I was blind and now I can see. You know, I didn't see all this beauty that was around us. I got clean in March. 30 days later, I could just like see the blooms, you know, that I never saw before. You know, I was hearing the birds that I haven't heard in a while. I called my wife up, and at this time it was like say 15 months since the last time we spoke or saw each other. And she was still clean. And we knew over the phone that both our lives has changed. You know, I guess she never really heard my voice sober, or I never heard her sober. You know, it was like magical just over the phone. We knew that our lives has changed. And, you know, and the kids, to see the kids again, and just a magical moment. I can still feel it today. I can still see it. And at that time, the kids are almost, you know, 7, 5, and 3. And, you know, people who know me, that's one thing I always talk about with my kids. And I'm very close with them right now. I have a grandson. Excuse me for one moment. I love my family. And I guess that's been the biggest blessing for me is my family. You know, being where I'm supposed to be at, being in their lives, you know, and trying to give them those spiritual principles and try to give it to them now, or give it to them when I was young, and hopefully they wouldn't make the mistakes I made. All right, we're gonna move on. Part of the tradition of this group is, if you are brand new, thank you. And volunteering for the first time, we ask that you stand up, introduce yourself, tell us all about yourself
in 10 seconds or less.